Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Money FM 89.3. Now, nearly half of millennials are actively looking for diversity and inclusion programs in their prospective employers before finalizing a job decision. New IPR and Weber Shandwick research reveals millennials are more comfortable than other generations when discussing issues of diversity and inclusion at work.
Well, Ambika Saxena, director of APAC, head of YSC Singapore and Hong Kong, talks us through some of the challenges that leaders are facing today in overcoming organizational bias and building workplaces where employees can be their true authentic selves. Oh, YSC is a leading independent leadership consultancy. Welcome to the show. What are some of the challenges that business leaders face when it comes to hiring younger employees?
I think a lot of our research proves that millennials are probably the most bashed generation around. And I think there are a lot of myths about what they really need and how they really like. And I think a lot of hiring managers get what drives the millennials wrong. So I think and a lot of organizations that get them right are the ones that understand what drives the millennials and what drives people in that life stage. And a lot of the research that YSC's actually done in this space shows that the needs of the millennials aren't really very different from the needs of the Gen Xers or the baby boomers when they were in that life stage.
Okay, right? Give us an example. Debunk some of the myths that people have surrounding millennials and what they want.
So what we found out in our research is that 25% of all millennials have the top three needs of 25% of the millennials, pretty similar to the top three needs of about 20% of Gen Xers and baby boomers, which is around they want to work for organizations that stand for some kind of purpose and social impact. They want to work for managers that are inspiring and purposeful. And the third is they want to work in organizations that allow them work-life integration and not really just work-life balance.
That's a tough thing to figure out at that point during an interview process, though, Ambika, I'm thinking. But let's talk about how productivity improves when employees feel that they belong. Say that a potential employer hits all of those boxes, takes all of those boxes, the millennial has gone to work for them, and when employees, other than millennials, Gen X and everybody else, when they feel like they belong at the workplace, the productivity increases.
Well, 76% of the millennials that we spoke to during the research, and especially in Singapore, said that if we feel like we belong and if we feel like we can wear some of these identities that we hold easily in the workplace, what that's going to mean is extra discretionary effort. We will go above and beyond in our roles, and it'll build a kind of loyalty where we'll think twice before jumping ship for money or for other perks.
So how does belonging look like? Because that seems a little vague as well, right?
My
belonging is different from Bernard's belonging and how you might feel when it comes to belonging to an organization, Ambika.
Yeah, how long do we have for this program?
Oh, dear. Give us the top line.
The top line on belonging is, you know, it's essentially about people want to be seen and heard for what they are. And on the surface of it, it can belong to, you know, will my gender make a difference? Will my sexual orientation make a difference? Will the region, the class that I belong to, will the school that I come from make a difference to the acceptance that I feel? But lots of times in organizations, the one top thing that sort of plays out is the way that I think and the way that I show up. Will that make a difference to really feeling like I belong in this place?
Well, we know that employees are also constantly looking for an environment where they can be their true selves, the authentic self. And how, in your opinion, how necessary is that?
Well, I go back to the research, right? So when I said 76% people said we'll put in extra effort. On the flip side, when we asked the same numbers in terms of if they work for organizations where they felt they didn't belong, like what would happen? And 80% of the people said we'll either quit or we'll be passive aggressive or we'll do the bare minimum of what's needed because we'll probably still need to keep the job. And that's the flip side of, you know, of not creating that belonging.
And Beagle, let's talk about true authentic selves. That's also something that's quite subjective. I'm not sure how we can go about putting it into an actual business type conversation or HR type conversation, because I'm a grumpy person. If I were my true authentic self at work, nobody would want to work with me, and chances are the company wouldn't want me either. So I've had to sort of temper my grumpiness, so to speak, in order to get along. So authentic true self, that's hard to sort of bring out at the workplace, so to speak, right?
Yeah, well, you would hope that your authentic true self doesn't curtail the authentic true selves of those people around you that are working with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always, you know, the base that we try to teach even our children when they're growing up. But one of the things that we've seen leaders do quite well in the workplace is around using what we call the 3C framework for conscious inclusion. So we see leaders bringing out their curiosity a whole lot more to understand what really drives people. They allow for courage in the organization, which means a psychological safety established for people to speak what they're feeling if they find something's off. And they create connections wherein, you know, they come at issues from an understanding of not just themselves, but about people and what drives them, and they create connections. So curiosity, courage, and connection is the easiest framework that we are able to provide to leaders to say that, you know, use this to be authentic yourself, but also to create spaces where, you know, where people can at least talk and have dialogues about issues that are close to their heart.
And hopefully be less grumpy.
Managing how we now. So tell us, why are young people these days, I mean, looking for more than just a high salary and a laundry list of benefits in a job? I mean, they look for these other things as well. Why is that so?
Well, it's not that young people are not looking for high salaries. Mm-hmm. So what our research shows is that a good salary and a good position is there, mm-hmm. but it's not the top three of what they're looking for. It'll probably show up at number six or number seven of what they look for. Because I think just in the way a lot of the millennials are being brought up today is, you know, you're creating greater environmental awareness in terms of the people that are coming into the workforce. So they also come in with very high expectations of wanting to know what's the impact socially of the work that they do, and wanting to know that they can integrate the life that they have outside of work with the work that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in a sense, when we're providing for millennials, is not a bad thing to provide to the Gen Xers and baby boomers, right?
Sure.
So what starts with one generation starts becoming important to the other generations as well.
Abiga, let's talk about how diverse work environments can foster that authentic interaction that you were talking about and allow employees to unleash their individuality and innovation as a result in the workplace.
So again, when we go back to organizations that truly harness diversity, I think it's important to understand what diversity is and what inclusion is. And at YSC, we really talk about diversity is how you count your people, and inclusion is how you make your people count. So when organizations just do diversity from a space of the lip service of the right representation and the right numbers.
This percentage,
number of women, number of millennials, etc. Yeah. It may not really result in the kind of innovation and the kind of business results they're hoping for, unless there's a culture and environment created where they make their people count, where they ensure that the uniqueness of the experiences that people from different backgrounds bring actually harnesses into something that's powerful. Mm. And that's really the distinction.
Mm-hmm. Well, business leaders seem that they have a tough time going ahead. How do they overcome challenges that stand in the way of a more inclusive culture with their team?
Yeah, it's a lonely game at the top, honestly. And I don't envy business leaders that are tasked with actually crafting the culture. But like with any change, the change actually comes from the leader themselves. So I think it's important for leaders that want to stand for inclusion to understand what their own personal case for inclusion is. Why is it important for them to create that kind of a culture? And then they need to back it up with ensuring that the systems that they're speaking with, specifically their recruitment system, their performance management system, and their talent review systems, can back that up and ensure that whatever biases exist for different kinds of talent to show up are understood and removed as much as possible. So it's always the interplay of the personal need for change and the key systems through which bias plays out have to be monitored very closely.
Ambika, you're director of APEC, head of YSC Singapore and Hong Kong. How is YSC then helping with leadership strategy in this regard?
Well, inclusion lies at the heart of everything that we do at YSC. So it's not just a separate practice, but in all the consulting that we do, in all the coaching that we do with clients, we use our 3C framework. We work with leaders to, you know, to look at their curiosity, their connection, their courage. We look at organizational cultures against the lens of those 3Cs. And we really sort of bring the dialogue around what sorts of leaders really succeed in an organization and why, and what sorts of leaders leaders might they be losing on the wayside because they haven't really sort of focused on bringing them into the mainstream. And that's really the heart of a lot of the work that we do at YSC.
And because Saxena, Director of APAC, Head of YSC Singapore and Hong Kong, speaking with us today about inclusion and diversity at the workplace. Ambika, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me here.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.